listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
You ever. And I'm Michael Sterling, and I am so glad to be back, Paul Sterling.
As am I. Yes, you told them my name. I don't have to introduce myself. It's nice to see you, Michael. Well, I've missed you.
Thank you.
I've pretended to do the show at home in our hiatus.
Oh, you did.
Yes. Luckily, I have a soft sculpture of you.
Oh, so how'd I do?
You did well. Oh, you did well. Yeah, a little. I used to call it an effigy. Now I call it a soft sculpture.
Oh, well, how kind of you.
It was really delightful. It was
how
kind of exciting.
Kind of you.
Disturbed Monica a little, but aside from that, it was
Monica,
okay.
Monica, his gorgeous wife.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I would imagine so. Before we go too much further into the show here, I'd like to thank our presenting sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. And to learn more about Breakdown Services, simply visit them at BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our weekly live arts calendar.
Indeed. And joining us, Paul, in studio, we have two fabulous guests today.
Yes, we do.
He stepped off of a Greyhound bus in 1982 from the hills of Tennessee, said hello to Hollywood, and has never looked back with hundreds...
I tucked that in there. That seemed good.
With hundreds of television shows, films, and commercials to his credit, he has become a familiar face on the entertainment scene and is the 2006 Emmy Award winner for Outstanding Guest Actor in a Comedy Series for his delicious portrayal of Beverly Leslie on Will and Grace. Here to talk about that and so much more, including his current solo show at the Celebration Theater. Please welcome Leslie Jordan.
That was good. That sounds experienced.
Well, it's not my first barbecue.
Sure. Before we talk to Leslie, also joining us in studio, is currently the pianist, arranger, and associate musical
director.
You've got
to be careful how you say that.
I know.
Right.
I'm going to say my tongue tripped on the pianist, but I won't do that.
Easy.
The pianist, arranger, and associate musical director for a little TV show you may have heard of called American Idol. Through this amazing opportunity, he has appeared on Oprah, Entertainment Tonight, Access Hollywood, and a record number of appearances on The Ellen Show. We are delighted to have him back on State of the Arts, a good friend of the show. Please welcome Michael Orland.
Nice. I'm so excited to see Leslie in person. I watched him on stage in New York.
And you know what's interesting? We're all sitting down here, and you two are the same height.
We are.
Yeah.
Well, I left my legs in the car, so that was
I left mine in San Francisco.
Exactly.
Along with something else.
Paul, that's true. As they say, everyone's the same height lying down.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. How was your week?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to throw you there,
you
Michael.
You didn't. I was.
You got that little sort
captured
of...
Captured by your eyes, that stare, that icy stare.
My week was good. My couple of weeks have been good, except,
yeah,
as you know, I've been, like, sick. And
yes.
So if I start to sound like Brenda Vaccaro after a carton of Luckies, you'll know why. It's not me. I've had a rough time of it, but just coming out of it. But you know what's infuriating me, and I don't know if either of you have noticed this. Why can you not? I know we've talked about this before. Why can you not buy tissues anymore? Why can't you just buy a tissue? Something without an ointment, something without a cooling effect, something without a lubricant, something without... You can't just get a plain Kleenex anymore. It's
really?
Like trying to buy toothpaste. There's 9 million different varieties,
right,
and they all have these gravies and all this other stuff. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Have
I
you?
Haven't.
You
I haven't? Haven't either.
You can't, no.
They do. They have
I'm
aloe
you.
Ointment in them now.
Aloe.
Really?
Puffs,
yes,
plus
tissues.
Cool
and it's
touch.
Too, stop the chafing of your nose is what they claim.
Which is a large problem
for me,
as you would
now,
imagine.
Now, are you talking about buying single tissues or a box of them?
No, just like buying a box of Kleenex.
I'm going to get you one.
You're just,
yes.
And I'm going to get you a Z-Pack.
We talked about this.
A Z-Pack is what the doctor, what you need for the crud down in your throat.
Yeah, I know. And as I said, it's the evening that it gets to me. It's like 7 o'clock, I'm
It'll
fine.
It'll hang on for months. Ask your doctor for a Z-Pack.
Oh, do it again.
And he gets a piece. He gets a piece
of endorsement. He said, it sounds like you've pushed this before, dude.
That may be just the name that the, I don't know what it is, but it's called a Z-Pack.
Now, if you're going to push the Z-Pack, though, now you have to list all of the side effects like they do on those commercials.
Well,
so
I don't know about that. I'm an old drug addict from the 70s. Just give me a pill.
Come on, you're not old.
I don't need a neti pot. I don't need any of that new age. I just want a pill.
There you go.
Make it simple and clean.
And you were sick too, weren't you?
I was. I had the same thing. Yeah. I almost got the Z-Pack, but I got lucky and mine left.
You got the Y-Pack, which is before the Z. Yeah, you got
a little less expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about $7.50.
It's the generic.
That's what it
the
was.
The generic is the Y-Pack, yes.
Paul, I have to have you tell the boys here something. Paul's Italian, first of all, so that's...
Oh, Kelth the priest.
Right.
He's a very funny man. He makes me laugh, and he's also a good friend. But he threw in a joke during the middle of a serious conversation today.
Yes.
And I about the, you know, about the pizza making.
Oh, the it's an ancient joke. You're going to make me tell that
before.
You make me tell that. I do. Actually, they made me stop telling that joke when I was doing Tony, the first Chicago production of Tony and Tina's Wedding. And I played Vinnie Black, the Cadillac of caterers, and who's sort of the MC of the show. And I would tell this joke, and they would they said, Paul, please, we'd prefer if you didn't tell this joke while people are dining. That was the problem. But it's an old joke, and the guy goes to a health inspector goes to an Italian restaurant, and the chef has his shirt open, and he's throwing the dough against his hairy chest to flatten it for the pizza. The health inspector goes, boy, that's disgusting. The owner says, you should have been here yesterday when we made donuts.
Lady!
Thank you. So, thank you, Michael.
The bigger the hole.
Can we talk about nicer things now?
We can.
Like our first guest?
We can.
All right. Shall I give him the lead?
Please
in?
Do.
Television audiences will remember our first guest for his recurring roles on Boston Legal, Ugly Betty, and Reba. Feature film audiences will recognize him from his performance as Brother Boy in Del Shore's adaptation of his play Sordid Lives. On stage, he won the Ovation Award, the Garland Award, and the Los Angeles Drama Critics Circle Award for his portrayal of Preston Leroy, the aging sodden barfly in Southern Baptist Sissies, a hysterical show. Also an accomplished author, his book, My Trip Down the Pink Carpet for Simon & Schuster, formed the basis of a 90-minute one-man show, which had a 45-city book signing, performance tour, and a successful 12-week off-Broadway run. Currently, he can be seen in the blockbuster hit The Help, produced by Steven Spielberg, where he shares the screen with Allison Janney, Mary Steenburgen, Cicely Tyson, Viola Davis, Bryce Dallas Howard, and Emma Stone. Please welcome, once again, Leslie Jordan.
Available on Blu-ray now at your local
store.
Here's
the way it all goes full circle. When I did Southern Baptist Sissies, which was a play that ran at the Zephyr Theater down on Melrose, there was an actor named Tate Taylor who was in the play with me. And my take on Tate was that he was sort of an aging frat boy from the Deep South, drank a little too much, and just worthless. But I had this huge crush on him. Well, here it all goes full circle. Years later, I get a call from Tate, and he does these small sort of independent films that I think that I'm past. You know what I mean? Like, he calls up and wants you to work for, you know, nothing. And so I would tell my agent, can you put him off? Can you put him off? So he had been trying to get me to do these independent films for years, and then he calls me up and says, I'm doing this movie called The Help. He grew up with Catherine Stockett, who wrote the book, The Best Friends Since They Were 4 Years Old.
Holy cow.
She couldn't get the book published. Forget getting a publisher. She couldn't get an agent. 69 literary agents turned that book down, most of them with a letter that said something to the effect of they thought it was very audacious for a privileged white girl from the Deep South to write in the black vernacular. please. I mean, if it's an Irish character, you would write in the Irish vernacular.
Right, exactly.
It's not, you know, they would say stuff like, you even had the characters saying, show enough. Well, I'm from the Deep South. That's my era, the early 60s. White people said, show enough.
I've heard
that my whole life. Anyway, long story short, Tate says to Catherine Stockett, look, if you can't get it published, let me write a screenplay. And we'll see if we can't get a little low-budget movie made. And they shook hands on it.
Wow.
The book gets published, goes to the New York Times bestseller. Oprah wants to play Abilene. Steven Spielberg wants to direct. Chris Columbus, who did all the Harry Potters, wants it. Everybody wants a piece in it. And Catherine stuck to that handshake. And she said, you can do whatever you want, but my friend Tate is not only going to write it, but he's going to direct it.
Wow.
You know, they were like, we were sort of thinking about Mr. Spielberg. She said, I don't care. My friend Tate is going to write direct it. So here we all take off. He calls me and says, I want you to play the editor. And I, you know, I had read the book. I said, but isn't he kind of, you know, like slamming doors, kind of like a Superman editor, you know, from the movie Superman?
Right.
What do I have to do? You want me to butch it up a little bit? He goes, no, no. I said, but I don't know quite what I'm playing here. He said, I'll tell you exactly what you're playing. This is Catherine and I's new take on this editor. Every southern town had one. I said, one what? He said, that guy that's married with children, but you know. And so I said, I'm playing the town sissy. But what an amazing honor. I do low budget movies like Sordid Lives. All of a sudden we're on DreamWorks dime.
Right.
Wow. They rented southern mansions for each of the actresses.
Unbelievable.
And had the art department come in and, you know, just fill it up with gorgeous furniture. And we're in Jackson, Mississippi, and I'm at a table. We had a two-week rehearsal period.
Oh, my gosh.
Flew us out. I'm at a table, and here's Viola Davis next to me scribbling in her script. And Sissy Spacek on my other side scribbling. And so I thought, well, I better scribble. You know? So I'm scribbling in my... But amazing.
But Leslie, no, I saw the film just like I said a couple of days ago. Michael, have you seen it?
I have. Yep.
I loved
and,
it.
And, yes. Oh yeah. But and nothing against the performance that you did, but a 2-week rehearsal period. Was there a lot of stuff of yours that is cut, or did we see most of your?
You know
scenes?
What? It didn't really matter because he wanted that ensemble feel.
Okay.
And so we were all there. You know, we were just all there. I don't care if you had a walk on and they brought you over from Shreveport. You were there.
And it shows. It
and
shows.
We're getting now nominations. You know, the Oscar doesn't have it, but the Golden Globes does, the ensemble.
Right.
And we've won a couple of those. Now, I'm number 14, and so usually 12 is the amount that they'll let attend. And my manager was just, you know, we got to complain about it. I said, but you know what? There's those guys, you know, that were in the movie. There's the boyfriend. He was throughout the movie. There's the husband of the blonde, Mike, what's his name? Vogel.
Yes.
Anyway, so, you know, but you're more memorable. You turned a cartwheel. Because I turned a cartwheel.
Yes.
And Tate, the director, said, can I ask you something? Why did you just turn a cartwheel that was not even scripted? I said, because I'm fighting for screen time with these seven talented bitches. What am I going to do?
I remember the cartwheel.
Well,
I remember the cartwheel.
And the cartwheel was preceded by a full Irish jig that they had a choreographer come in and teach me. But what happened was... we went to the editing, and I called Tate, and I said, I just bet my cartwheel didn't make it. Because, I mean, the movie came in, you know, like 3-4 hours. He had to really whittle. I said, what about that cartwheel? He goes, that cartwheel is in by the demand of Stacy Snyder, who is head of DreamWorks.
Wow.
That is awesome.
It is. It's so wonderful to hear especially what you said early on about those relationships. Give me the author's name again. My apologies.
Catherine Stockett. Kitty to me.
Kitty.
Catherine to you.
Those of us in the know.
Kitty
but
Stockett.
But don't you think that the fact that, I mean, that relationship stayed with the director, that was almost a result of the fact that she was refused by 69 different publishers. It's just, you know, you develop a tenacity and a skin about those people that were with you in the formative time.
Exactly.
And I think that's
nice
to hear.
And I think she knew that there wasn't anyone on this planet that understood Jackson, Mississippi in that era like Tate would, you know.
Now,
Can I just say something? I was so moved by this film when I went to see it. Excuse me. It makes you think for about 3 or 4 days, and it's astonishing to me, really, that socially people could even go there during that time, and we know that they still do to some extent, right? I mean, even back there, out here, anywhere. I mean, the fact that the human nature, the condition of our lives by our parents and tradition and all of those things, what it dictates. I thought this was a very important film, and I chose, we gave it to various people at Christmas time, actually.
Oh, really?
It was interesting because they had a lot of African-American people. We screened it for the very first time in Chicago, and it was an older group of African-Americans who knew, okay, it happened. Now, at screenings, there have been younger African-Americans who just walked out. They didn't want to, who wants to see that? Who wants to... But it was what it was.
That's
and
right.
You can look at it in the way that look at how far we've come.
Mm-hmm.
And, when that Viola Davis's character takes that long walk at the end and they ask Mary J. Blige to write a song, and she writes a song that's
unbelievable.
Called... And that song is called the... Oh, my gosh, it's escaped my mind. The Living Proof. And she saw it as I am. My success today as a woman and who I am is living proof of what they went through and what they, were
that
able to achieve.
The song killed me.
Yeah.
Oh.
And she wrote it with Harvey Mason Jr. I was like, who is that?
Closing
yes,
tune?
I did the same thing. I thought it was a country singer. I don't know why.
I didn't know who it was.
That voice. I said, I know that voice. It's like a... country singer. I did the same thing. I was shocked too.
It was Mary J. Blige.
The joys of Shazam. You know that little app on the phone?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You just hit Shazam and it listens for you and tells you what the song is.
And then your neighbor in the movie theater hits you for...
Well, yes, of course.
But real fast, the last thing I'll say real fast, I belly cried as you did throughout the movie because when my mother told me afterwards when I called her on the phone and said, Mother, you've got to see this. She said, do you remember, I'm 6 years old, and we had Roberta since I was in diapers. But I'm 6 years old, and I asked my mother, I said, where does she go? Mother said, well, honey, she goes home. That's Horace as her husband that comes and gets her. She has 3 children. I was flabbergasted that she had any kind of life
outside of you,
outside my home.
Right.
To
recognize the fact that, like you said, how far we've come, it's also important to recognize how much of that still exists. For example, walk through Hancock Park on any afternoon with those beautiful homes and everything, and those babies that are being walked around are being pushed by Hispanic women primarily. And it's sort of like, it's a real strange dynamic because there's such an affection there, but what happens, evidenced in this film, what happens when they get older? It's very touching.
Well, I must say, and because we need to talk about this too, Leslie is talking about these kinds of things on stage at the Celebration Theater here in Hollywood in a brilliant new play that had its world premiere this past weekend. I had the pleasure of being there on opening night, and he has written it, he is performing it, it is directed by one of our great directors in town, David Galligan, and it's in town on a limited basis, at least as far as we know right now. Just opened January 6th, and will continue for the next few weeks. And all I can say, Leslie, is that from the moment I walked into the theater, I knew what I was in for because I've worked with you in the past, but this was nothing but spellbinding and humorous and passionate and precious.
Thank you. Everything
that you embody, and I can't imagine this life that you've led until you see it unfold on the stage.
It's called Fruit Fly, and it's actually
my fourth autobiographical piece.
I was just going to ask you because I know like a dog on linoleum.
Well, there was first Hysterical Blindness and other Southern tragedies that have plagued my life thus far. It ran here in New York. And then Like a Dog on Linoleum, which toured about 45 cities, I did with that. And then my trip down the pink carpet, which just did New York and the West End of London.
Wow.
I did a 12-week run at the Apollo. At the Apollo.
That's exciting.
Unbelievable. I'm sandwiched between Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, and a new musical based on Thriller, Michael Jackson's music. I'm thinking somebody. And David Galligan, my longtime director, was with me, and we would just sit and look at each other and just giggle. We would just giggle like, they're just going to find out any moment and send us home. You know, we don't belong here at all. But
how long is this run planned for?
This one is going till the end of February. They are doing, what an ambitious project. They're doing the West Coast for very first showing of The Color Purple at the tiny 66
seats. Yes, they made that announcement.
The 28 actors on stage, where are they going to put them? There's only 66 seats. But anyway, I'm then booked into Minneapolis and Salt Lake City, and I'm going to Tampa, Orlando. So I've got, I'm going to take it out. You don't make money in L.A., you know, and I'm 56 years old. It's all about that paycheck. You know, my manager wrote me some reviews today. I wrote him back and said, listen, when do I get paid? Because I got to figure this out.
Well, you know, it's like in terms of making money in L.A., and Michael and I have talked about this before, it's not necessarily the reason for the lack of the money is that you are, it's one of God's great mysteries getting people out to live theater in Los Angeles. Because, and part of it is not a mystery. Part of it is the fact that when you spend your whole week driving to go from A to B to A to B at 7:30 on a Friday night, you don't really feel like getting in that car again.
And it's just not a part of what we do.
It's upsetting.
You know,
it's
people, upsetting I think in people LA. In LA, I'm an actor and I'm just as guilty. I do theater to showcase myself for better TV and film roles. Yep. You know, I'm just, I love the wonderful story where Rita Wilson turned to her husband, Tom Hanks, and said, we go to everything in New York. Why do we never go to theater? He said, pick something out. She's Greek. She looks through the thing and says, oh, here's something. Yep. A one-woman show called My Big Greek Wedding.
Big Fat Greek Wedding, yeah.
Went into that theater behind Hugo's, that old car garage. I don't know what it is now, but it used to be the Shakespearean thing.
Right.
With that nut that ran it. I adored him. Yeah. I adored that crazy old man. I think he died. But she said, let's make a movie of this.
Yeah.
But people just, it's not part of what we do. And I noticed that I'm on the road. I can fill up a 1,200-seat theater in Dallas, Texas, and I can do a 400-seat theater in Atlanta, and I'm lucky here with 66 seats to sell out.
Yeah, well, it's the saturation factor. It's the number of properties that are being offered. But also, I think it's true. Like, you know, we've talked about this before. Right. New York or Chicago, you get in a cab, I'll meet you at this restaurant, we'll do this, we'll do that. And in L.A., it's tough. But I also have to say, Leslie, I think also that one of the problems is, and not with performers like you who are so accomplished, but one of the things that you're up that we are up against, like I produce live theater here, one of the things we're up against is the mindset of the showcase show. And not in your case, but when you have, you know, a dozen people in their early 20s doing a show and they're all trying to outshine one another, you know, the play is not the thing. The show, it's the showcase mentality that we have to overcome.
I've never thought of that, but you're exactly right. I see that all the time. Where I'll sit there and think, you know, she's trying to get that sitcom.
She's acting her head off.
Honey, that one was a sitcom.
Exactly. Well, here's some information, ladies and gentlemen, about how you can see Leslie Jordan in Fruit Fly. It is, once again, currently...
Fly to Dallas.
Yeah.
Fly to Dallas.
Currently in Los Angeles at the Celebration Theater, which is located in the heart of Hollywood on Santa Monica Boulevard, just east of La Brea, so you know that particular area there. Performances are Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. And for reservations or tickets, simply call 323-957-1884 or go online at Celebration Theater. That's with an R-E, by the way. CelebrationTheater.com, 24 hours a day.
Or watch for me at the corner of Santa Monica and La Brea. I'm passing them out.
Was that you? Was that you?
Please come see my show.
We actually performed at the same theater at the same time. When you were doing Southern Baptist Sissies at the Zephyr, I was doing a one-man show at the time, and I did it on Monday nights on the Southern Baptist set.
So what was the name?
It was called Renaissance Geek, but it became Straight Up with a Twist. So we were there.
What are their names? The couple there.
Gary.
Gary and Linda. Just old hippies.
Old hippies who had a neon shop. They made neon signs,
and they still do, I think.
Are they still
front.
There?
He has. I think the neon shop's gone, but
because they have it, it's more like a lobby now. I think they've overhauled it. You've been there recently?
I have. Not recently. Linda and Gary.
Not recently. No, they were great. And they're very supportive, and they really have done a lot for theater. And
right.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, we have an arts calendar.
Shall I kick it off?
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell me this before I read this. This is truly one of the greatest titles I've heard in a long time. Xana Don't is a hip musical fairy tale about Xana, a matchmaking teen who turns relationships upside down, challenges our point of view, and literally changes the world. In this alternative America, Hartsville High School is just like all other high schools, boys falling madly in love with dreamy boys, girls planning dates with other girls. Scandal erupts, however, when young Steve and Kate find themselves attracted to one another, and it's up to Xana, the local love fairy, to search for the right spell to make the world safe for the two lovers. But Xana's spell has a bigger impact than he planned in this new world. Is this new world really what he wanted? With little magic and a fresh pop score, Xana Don't celebrates the discovery of love in a world of diversity and acceptance. And it's a Spotlight Theater production. It's playing at Theater through February 25th.
And here's your chance to see this 2009 Tony Award winner for Best Play in a More Intimate Setting in Yasmina Reza's savagely caustic comedy God of Carnage. A playground altercation between 11-year-old boys bring together two sets of Brooklyn parents for a meeting to resolve the matter. At first, diplomatic niceties are observed, but as the evening progresses and the rum flows, it quickly deteriorates into a finger-pointing, fur-flying, hilarious brawl, leaving the couples with more than just their liberal principles in tatters. It's a play about the civilized and the savage that resides within us all. Playing at International City Theater in Long Beach, California through February 29th.
And for further information about any productions and or events mentioned in today's State of the Arts Live calendar, visit us at stateoftheartsla.com. And we also suggest you drop in at performingartslive.com, where you can search for Southern California events in several different categories happening every day of the week.
Indeed. Yes. And our next guest, Paul.
Our next guest
has collaborated with music industry giants such as Burt Bacharach, Neil Sedaka, Diane Warren, Elton John, Dolly Parton, Martina McBride, Jennifer Lopez, and Tony Bennett, all as a result of his long-standing affiliation with the smash hit Fox television series American Idol, now in its 11th season. He also served as pianist coach for the successful summer series America's Got Talent and a few seasons back, America's Juniors. He has associate produced two hit singles, God Bless the USA and What the World Needs Now is Love for American Idol, as well as the hit compilation CD from American Juniors. In addition, he is now a published author with the best-selling book, Chicken Soup for the American Idol Soul. Please welcome our favorite mensch, Michael Orland.
How are you? How are you?
I'm a good Jew. Thank you. That's your favorite mensch.
I have to tell you, I talked to my friend Renee Albert today.
Oh, my God. I love Renee Albert.
And I said, we're going to have Mike. And I didn't know you knew her at all. She was just asking me who was going to be on the show today. And I said, Michael Orland's going to be on it. She said, Michael Orland, I laid on my back and he played my accordion.
I did. We were filming a friend of ours movie, this hysterical thing called Casino. And with John Boswell and Susie Mosier, and we were filming a movie, and she laid down on the ground with her accordion on, and I was playing it while she was laying down. She is one of the funniest women I know.
She's hysterical.
So
she's
funny,
very,
and
very funny.
Such a great accordion player.
Yeah.
She's crazy.
Yeah, no, she's we didn't know one another very well in the old Chicago days. She's from Chicago,
right,
too. I love it. But just out here, through mutual friends, we came to know one another. She's hysterical.
She's so funny. She, and I think I played Lady of Spain while she laid down.
Well, that's the sound bite we're going to use
we
for
all
the show. Let's just take that snippet out. You know, just we played Lady of Spain while she laid down.
That's right.
Just use that as our teaser. So, still having fun with the show?
I'm having a ball, and it starts airing next week, season 11. I can't even believe it. Now I'm in AARP and still doing the Idol. It's perfect. No, I haven't joined yet.
Oh, you haven't? But you're getting
the
mailings?
Oh, yeah.
Michael and I sat together at a little lunch place out here called Hugo's. I think they have one over on the other side of town as well. And 11 years ago.
Yeah.
And we had a little conversation about this job that he got called American Idol.
That's
and
right.
He wasn't quite sure.
I didn't know what it was.
Where he was going with this thing and if it was going to work.
How crazy is that? Yeah. It's like a Patsy Cline song.
It
crazy.
Sounds like it has some legs to it.
Yeah, I can't believe it's 11 years.
Yeah. Not either.
Yeah.
It's, you know what? It's just as much fun. I love every second of it. I love, you know, watching these kids come up with very little to no experience and just helping them develop into some kind of artist that they become today. A lot of them, you know, even like you look at Carrie Underwood from season 4, from 7 years ago, she's one of the biggest hit, you know, performers in the country today. And she always had a great voice, and she was a beauty, but she is an incredible performer now from, you know, all what she's been doing. And she's just as beautiful and has the same voice, but, you know, she's, you know, total star.
And I can't
star.
Agree with you more. I think she really, it was such a platform for her. Have you watched the show, Leslie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the best testament to the star-making quality of that show, because you mentioned her name, and until he mentioned it, I forgot that was her origin. So that really is, you know, she's become so big,
right,
you know, that you just forget.
Kelly Clarkson.
And Kelly Clarkson. And, yeah, you know, Catherine McPhee is about to become the biggest star, you know,
when that show smashed.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
And she's fantastic. There's so many that have come through. And a lot of them, you know, even the ones that aren't huge, 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 still have big careers as a result
of Clay
Aiken, as there, but still,
just drop the names.
See, but we know him from one name though.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's like Leslie.
Yeah. Elvis, Leslie, Madonna, Clay.
That's it.
That's right.
It's
kind of a 5-pack, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like a Z pack, but plus 2.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a Z pack. Two people we should be paying us money by the end of this broadcast: the Z pack people and Hugo's.
There you go.
We've given Hugo's 2
there
plugs.
And I was there for lunch today, which is crazy.
Holy God. I haven't
been there in years, and I went today.
The cold one?
The one on the other side of the hill near that theater you mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a Valley one and there's a West Hollywood one, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. I've long time since I've been to the West Hollywood one, and I also dig that place you told me about, which I go to all the time, which is 4 and 20.
4 and 20.
Oh, I love 4 and 20.
We love it.
It's end of my street. I love
it. One of those.
There's 2 actually, but I always go to the one on Laurel. I like the Laurel one better than the Sherman Oaks one. The other one's a little cave-like, but the one on Laurel has a lot of windows and everything. The one is just a little too dark.
It's great breakfast. They have the best tortilla soup.
Chicken tortilla soup.
Yeah, yeah.
And here's what you
God.
Do. Here's what you do. Always get the cornbread.
With the
and
cinnamon
save
butter.
Save the cinnamon butter to the end, because then you immediately have dessert. Because you can have a little bit of the cornbread with the soup, and it's just like, oh, this is cornbread. And then you put that cinnamon butter, and it's coffee cake.
That cinnamon butter is crazy.
It's
deadly. Planned it out, haven't
yes.
you?
Yes. Can you tell I've thought this through?
They should be a sponsor now.
Can you
they
tell?
They should be a sponsor.
Michael, I wanted to ask you something that you and Michael and I were talking about before the show started. You're going to Vegas for the last batch of auditions, is
right.
that it?
Yeah, well, they're down to, they're getting close down to, you know, when the show starts live, we'll be at the top 24. So they've whittled down from the hundreds of thousands down to 300 when we went to started Hollywood Week. Now I think they're down to like in the 40s. So they keep cutting and cutting. It's, you know, it's really hard. I mean, it's intense.
That's what I was curious about. How, as not an observer, because you're not an observer, you're an active part of it, but what is that like to take home with you? Because you see these kids who've just worked so hard and all that. I mean, they're obviously the joy when people get selected, but it's got to be really poignant and really, you know, emotional when that happens, when they get cut.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. You know, like we saw like 300 people when we first did Hollywood Week a few weeks ago, and you know, and there are so many great people, and there's something that these new judges do differently. They give more people chances. So whereas the old judges used to say, no, we don't like what you did, you're out. Now Jennifer Lopez and Steven Tyler and Randy Jackson are going, well, we didn't really love what you did, but let's hear what else do you do. And they gave, instead of like normally 160 people come for Hollywood Week, they had 300. So it makes it a lot of hard work for us, but they really get to see what everybody does and really make sure they get some great people and give people a lot of second chances. But it's very hard to watch people who you know are really good. And for whatever reason, it's a TV show, so somebody might not get through. It's not always the best singer. You know, sometimes
behind
they get
the
cut.
Scenes, who makes those decisions? Though?
It is the judges. It really is. Somebody
really
just asked me that today. It really is the judges, and I love that about our show. It's not the execs, and it's not the exec producers. The judges decide who they want.
Market research or
it's
focus
not.
Groups.
It really isn't. It's what it's they. It's the judges are picking it. And you know, because once this show does start, it's all about the votes.
Right.
And we all know that the votes aren't voting for always necessarily the best talent. They, sure. It's how little kids vote. Mm-hmm. Who my mom watches the show and votes twice, you know, whereas my niece calls in 300 times. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Right.
So
right.
it's just like, it is what it is, but the show is what it is. I used to get very upset about all that. Like when season three, when Jennifer Hudson got voted off, I was like devastated. I
yeah.
was like, what is going on? But it's, you know, you just learn
and you
to...
know what? I'm going to stop you there for 1 second. Because she gets voted off, brilliant singer. We all knew this. You know, so many of us were crushed by this. But look what it led to for
look
her.
At her.
And would it have been the same?
Yeah,
you never
right.
know,
you're right?
Right.
She
and
became
that's why,
far greater.
And absolutely.
Was
and that's
there,
why
was there
getting...
more of an affection born of her collectively with the viewing public because she got cut?
It could be, but
yeah,
you know what?
Perhaps?
That's why I stopped
yeah.
getting upset, because... You can have the exposure of a week or two on Idol, and if there's something that's supposed to happen, it's going to happen. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I stopped getting as emotionally attached to everybody. I mean, like, there was a girl last season, Pia Toscano, who
yes.
I thought was one of the best singers
yes, she
on
was.
The show.
She was.
And
she's from Brooklyn or somewhere.
She, yeah, from New York, from
yeah, one of the boroughs.
Long Island, one of those, yeah.
Yeah.
Pia Toscano, Irish girl.
Yeah, she must be. If I had a piano, I'd play the theme from The Godfather right now.
Let me see. I don't have that. All I have is CSI.
Anyway, but well, we need Renee here playing that on the accordion. But, it doesn't matter. Like, she's making a record. Last year, out of the top 11, 7 people got record deals, 4 of which their really? Albums are already out right now, and 3 of which are making albums. That's more than any season's ever brought. And I think that was because this year they didn't try to make people jump through musical hoops every week and say, this week everyone's singing country, the next
right,
week
right.
everyone's singing disco.
Right.
They let everybody be who they were as an artist, and they developed that every week.
And that's nicer yes. as a viewing audience, too, because it feels a lot less they shoot horses, don't they?
Right.
You know, it
right.
feels a lot less right. grueling. You know, and don't you
and
think
so many
no,
of the runner-ups have bigger careers
yes,
than the people that
won? Yes, they do sometimes.
Yeah,
they do sometimes.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to ask you a question which everybody kind of thinks about this since X Factor has come on the air. Do you feel that that's robbing any sort of loyalty toward American Idol?
And the voice, too.
And the voice and America's Got yeah. Talent. Listen, I don't think so. I think really, I mean, I think there's room for all those shows, yeah. obviously. I think American Idol is the gold standard.
Right.
And I think that everybody I talk to, I know on Facebook, on Twitter, and all that, they all go, we can't wait for season 11 to start. I can't either. I work on it, and I can't wait for
right,
it to start.
Right.
And
you're right. You said something key there. It's the gold standard.
It is. And Nigel Lithgow and Ken Warwick, our producers, they make it all about the contestants, which all these other shows are not about just that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what people fall in love with, and they
right.
get into the contestants every year. It's not about the judges bickering. It's not. I mean, that's fun when it happens, but it's not about that every week. And I just think this show has got the right formula. And I hope it goes on for a long time.
It's fun. It's fun when it happens, and it happens organically rather
right.
than being manufactured
right.
as it does for some of the other shows.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But listen, I'm happy for all those other shows. I love Paula Abdul more than life itself. I'm so happy she's working and doing.
Well, that's good because we have her right here.
Oh,
Paula,
my God.
Come on in.
I love that woman. I'm in love with her. And anyway, but you know, it's just. So we found out that people weren't missing Simon Cowell. The show still did well last year. They people loved the new judges. They all came back.
And
this
that was
year.
A nice chemistry of those
It was
three.
Very nice.
Who knew it was going to work like that?
Yeah,
but,
nobody.
You know, it did
nobody.
Work.
You know what? I think
especially
Ken,
Steven Tyler. I love.
I know
him.
He's great. I think yeah. Ken Warwick and Nigel Lithgow know what they're doing. I really
yeah.
do. I just think they're genius bosses and producers. And you know, and I speaking of theater, because I can't wait to go see Leslie's show. But I just finished doing a show at. Because I love
the
theater
Portal.
And
yeah.
cabaret and all that stuff. I'd love to support all that. And I just did a show that Nigel produced and his wife Bonnie directed.
The Panto?
Son Chris. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
I just
oh,
musical
the one
directed
that we talked about.
Two
oh, yeah.
of them, yeah. So it was, we just closed last night. I haven't done 10 shows in a week in a long time, but it was the most fun I've had in a theater in a long time.
Oh, the British Panto style. I just love. I saw
it was
that
perfect.
There when I was there, when I was in London years ago.
I had never seen it, never experienced it, and it was thrilling.
Do you know the Panto style?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Not well, but...
it's with your pants off. You perform yeah. with
yeah.
your pants off.
Yes.
He knows the pants off, not the Panto.
Pants off with your pants off. Michael, you always have to go there.
I don't
you
always
yes,
go
just
there.
Just
like
Leslie.
I did it for you.
Every Monday you mention something about pants being off. Every Monday. I don't know
but
why.
But what about, I saw this man, Leslie Jordan. I have to tell you, because my friend Willard Beckham wrote this off-Broadway musical that I helped work on some of the music. It's been around for a long time, but They did a huge, lavish production off Broadway last year, and I went in.
Prince was the ingenue. In the early.
Yeah, I was going to say in the early.
That's but how long he's been around.
I was like, Leslie Jordan sings, and they were like, uh-huh. And he was fantastic. I mean, the show was great. Really? The costumes were amazing, but I loved everything. But Leslie was so great in that show. And now I'm going to see his new show because I love David.
We opened on a Friday and announced our closing on a Saturday. It was just.
Oh, it was very
sad. It wasn't meant to be. It was. You know, it was
what was the name of the show?
It was called Lucky Guy. It was a big country western musical where you had this enormous drag queen named Varla Jean Merman, who's actually operatically trained. Operatically trained. That's the opera app. You're operatically trained. Operatically trained.
It's the iTunes opera.
Yeah. But anyway, and I was her unscrupulous manager.
Oh, man.
And I was dressed in nudie from head to toe. Do you know nudie? You're right out here.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Nudie's Rodeo Taylor used to be right on Lancashire.
Really?
And he went all the way back to Elvis's first gold lamé suit. And our costume designer was William Ivy Long, who's
the suit from 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong, the album cover with the, where they show him. Okay.
But he did everything, you know, Porter Wagner, anything that had everything.
All his clothes, anything that glittered,
and was Western. Wow. And we found his granddaughter, who now lives out in Canyon Country. I'm taking up your time. And we found her, and I drove out to Canyon Country, and I walked in, and she goes, you know what? You're the same size as my granddaddy. And I slipped on those nudie, his original.
Wow.
And we took pictures, and William Ivy Long, who's, I mean, probably seven-time Tony winner, designed my suits for this show.
Unbelievable.
It was great. Everything about it. I loved everything about it, but, you know.
Well, his clothes make you sang better, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. Right. You think just get that do. Feel.
They
yeah,
do.
Yeah. And do you sing anymore?
I sing. You know what? I've got a big, loud voice, and I can sell a song. But
no.
I don't sing. This guy was a car salesman, so a lot of my songs were, you know, would come on down la, 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 la.
Like Dance a Little Sidestep from Best Little Whorehouse?
Yes.
That fantastic song that Charles Durning does.
Yeah. The hardest thing was learning choreography, and I'm not a dancer.
Yeah.
And the choreographer came in, and a one, and a just, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa.
That's it. That's me.
I said, I don't know Shanae. He goes, you're a gay man, and you don't know Shanae. I said, I don't know Shanae, Shanae, step, ball, change. I don't know that. And he goes,
you went to school with Shanae, didn't you?
Shanae, Shanae. Yeah.
Shanae O'Connor.
That's
great,
right.
Great dancer.
Michael Orland does other things, too. He, over the holidays, was out on the road with the great Radio City Music Halls.
I did 11 years.
Oh,
musical directing one of the touring companies. I did the one at the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville this year, which was
nice.
so fun. And it's one of my favorite shows. It's just so moving.
Tucks by Nudie.
Yes.
Any free time? Do you have any free time?
Not really. And I just and then I was in Cabo for New Year's Eve with four past American Idols and six dancers from Dancing with the Stars and So You Think You Can Dance, with a show that was put together by Louis Van Amstel.
Who were the four idols?
Melinda Doolittle, and Ricky Smith from season two, Michael Johns, who's an incredible singer, and LaToya London, who did
I've worked with her many times.
Oh, yeah. You do those benefits in San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah, we had the greatest, greatest time.
I had to tell LaToya, though, she was holding hands with Rita Moreno, and she was going to sing a song from West Side Story.
Yeah, she was singing.
She didn't know who Rita was.
Oh, yeah.
But they're kids. They don't know.
No, listen,
you know. And so I pulled her aside. I probably shouldn't have, because then she was a wreck.
Right.
But I said, I mean, you do know. She goes, know what? I said, that's like the original. She goes, oh my, she didn't know, you know.
Yeah, no,
she
it's
was
true.
Going to sing a song from West Side Story
with the original
Moreno.
Anita. Yeah.
I remember when we were doing American Idol season three and Elton John was going to be with the mentor and the kids were like, did he write anything besides Lion King?
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah. I was like, what?
Wow.
And when Barry Manilow was on, they all had to like listen to their CDs. They never heard any Barry Manilow song. It was... But that's what I love about Idol.
Yeah.
Like, these kids leave knowing all that. Even when we did Beatles Week, there's, you know, and then there's always that handful that are, like, like we are, that at 15 years old knew every Beatles song.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like
not only did I know Beatles songs, I knew Judy Garland. I mean, I knew
everything.
Way back.
Yeah,
me too.
I grew up like that too.
It's where your interest lies. Like whenever I talk to people about young people about what was considered folk music, but one of my favorite singers of all time is Loudon Wainwright. Loudon Wainwright the III. And with the younger people, I have to say Rufus's dad.
That's right.
And then if I don't say Rufus's dad for even younger, I say Martha's dad.
That's right.
Now Martha Wainwright is coming in and of her own,
along with
Rufus. But
and here's my two cents on that. We're doing LA's Next Great Stage Star at my separate club. Leslie, I have a separate club that's dedicated to the best of Broadway performers in concert and nightclub artists, a Great American Songbook. And like you said, Michael, with Idol, our kids that are coming through, because our platform is much like Idol, but it's all directed to musical theater, finding fresh new talent for musical theater stages and judged by the elite in the industry of Broadway community here in Los Angeles. And the kids are saying to me, these are 18 to 32, and so who, what's your musical inspiration? Madonna? and naming all these. I said, no, Rosemary Clooney. There's just a blank.
Yeah, no, I know.
But then you have to say...
Rosemary taught me everything I know about music.
And you have to say George Clooney.
Her nephew.
George Clooney's on.
And they get it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So
right.
Funny.
Oh, man. Well, however their education happens. Like, Hugh Laurie has a blues album out right now. And there's this whole thing about, he's a TV star, it's a vanity project. It's like, it's not. He's a very, very
singer.
Accomplished musician.
He was doing it long before House.
Exactly. And the thing is, however the education happens. I mean, I know about blues music because of a white British guy named Long John Baldry. That's how I found out about it. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you learn, so long as you learn. We should baptize our two guests here.
Yes, absolutely.
We have a little thing we do at the end of the show. We're going to start with you, Leslie. We've got about 5 minutes left, but we always ask people for their nightmare performance story, something unusual, embarrassing that happened during performance. And if you have any recollections that come to your head, or I could ask you about the horse.
Let's not do the horse.
Can you come up with a story for me? Because I don't really have one.
I have a couple.
Oh, good.
One time I was doing a live radio broadcast from the Gene Autry Museum, live. And there was a wonderful old character actor named Pat Buttram, who played Mr.
I remember
Haney.
Him.
Yes.
He played Mr.
Oh,
Haney.
Oh, yeah, Green Acres.
Yeah. And so he pulled a flask. We're about to walk up to the microphones. This is going to go live. He was dead serious. He pulled a flask out. He said, you want a slug? And I said, oh, Mr. Haney, no. I mean, I said, well, Mr. Buttram, no. And he said, you go out there alone?
That's great.
Because he had that twang.
You go out there alone?
You go out there alone?
But the next, I just did this amazing thing at the Geffen Playhouse called It's a Wonderful Life. We did a live reading.
Oh, wow.
Of a version of it that is like an old radio drama. And it was Annette Bening and Peter Gallagher and Shirley Jones and her wonderfully demure husband, Marty Ingalls.
Marty Ingalls.
Just insane. Yeah. And this whole group of people. But I really bonded with Annette Bening, and I was just like pinching myself. She's just as real, and, there's every wrinkle on her face. There's no Botox or anything. But I leaned into her, and I said, is your husband coming? She said, my husband and my sister-in-law. And here they came.
Yeah.
Was Shirley MacLaine.
Wow.
But anyway, what does that have to do with what you just asked me? I have no idea.
I don't know, but I was into it.
No, I didn't care. I was.
Now you.
I don't have a good one.
Oh, come on, Michael.
I'm trying to think of something
fun.
Think
of Idol, all the things that have happened on Idol. What's happened?
Something embarrassing?
Yeah, crazy.
Not necessarily embarrassing, just sort of a fun thing.
I mean, I've been thrown under the bus a lot, like where people will just like blame me for something, but I don't know.
Yeah, but see, that's true. We're looking.
Never. I'm kidding. So try to help, but I once somebody did throw me under the bus, and I remember Simon like going, "Michael, you just crushed another dream. You just crushed another dream."
Like he never crushed.
Yeah, blank. Thank you.
Gosh.
I don't know if anything that embarrassing. I mean, last night on our closing night, I was I think one of the customs of the English panto is on the last performance you can fool around and have a really good time, which I am, front of the line for that.
Yeah.
I will do anything to try to throw somebody off or put an extra, we play this little fanfare when the prince comes on. I change the music up, add a little longer fanfare. It's just fun stuff to do, but I had a microphone in case I ever wanted to say anything, which is dangerous. And so I used to, every night before the show, I used to say, "Hi, Dave," to the sound guy. So I decided last night in the middle of the show I was going to say it while I was playing to see if he could hear me, and he did, and it made me go to a completely different part of the song that we don't even sing.
You threw yourself.
I threw myself.
Oh, that's funny.
It was pretty crazy.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, man. When Idol is coming up shortly, Michael, what's the air date for the new season?
It starts a week from Wednesday, the 18th, I believe, and we'll be in Las Vegas cutting more people, but it starts airing the audition episodes on the 18th, and then I think a few weeks later, all the stuff we do in Hollywood Week will start airing. It's really fun.
Awesome. And also, to go back to before we sign off, let's remind people how they can get tickets to see Leslie's show.
Absolutely.
This is Fruit Fly. This is at the Celebration Theater. That's 7051B Santa Monica in L.A.
Across from the Target.
What could be better?
Target. And for tickets, call 323-957-1884. That's 323-957-1884. Or visit Celebration Theater. Theater is the R-E spelling. CelebrationTheater.com to purchase tickets online 24 hours a day. Man, this has been fun.
Yeah.
Way fun.
Through February 18th and hopefully longer, right? Hopefully.
Well, I leave for Minneapolis, so maybe back in the spring.
Yeah.
I've got bookings right up, and they're bringing in the Color Purple.
So. All right. Well, if you don't see it in Los Angeles, you can see it elsewhere, right?
Yeah.
Just go online.
I'm going to be doing it in the Target parking lot.
Can they go on your website? Do you have a website?
I have a website that I'm so remiss. I don't even know if it's on the website. But my website is the Leslie Jordan, because there's a sportswear designer in Vermont who's LeslieJordan.com.
I mix you two up all the time.
Yeah, I do. We actually, we thought we had booked
that
him.
Bitch stole my name.
Oh, woman.
LeslieJordan.com, and I'm sure it'll be up by now.
And Michael, your site is just your name.com?
MichaelOrland.com. That's right.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you,
not
Paul.
That you're not a gentleman as well. Didn't mean to imply that.
Put your pants on.
The English pants on. Come
English
on.
Pants off. We will see you all next week
on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.